The all-new Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe is equipped with everything you need to break free from the dull work week and embark on an adventurous weekend with your family. And that's because the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe has some great features like the available H-Track all-wheel drive, standard third row seating, available dual wireless charging pads, and much, much more. So think about those places that you want to go, the things that you'd like to do this weekend, and where the Santa Fe can take you. Learn more about the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe at HyundaiUSA.com. Call 562-314-4603 for complete details. Welcome to the First Cut Podcast, breaking down everything we just saw at Sunday of the RBC Heritage. It was absolutely wild. We're going to jump right into this. Let me bring in the team for this evening. Kyle Porter at Kyle Porter CBS. What up, my dude?
I'm fired up. I got some takes tonight, so I'm ready to go. Let's jump in.
I am on cloud nine. I cannot wait to do this. Greg Ducharme. Let's bring in Greg. We'll just jump right into this, Greg. First of all, welcome. Second of all, the last 2.5 hours of this golf tournament, basically everything that was after the weather delay was phenomenal.
My head is spinning. So I don't even know where to go. First of all, happy Father's Day, Kyle. Rick, happy Father's Day to your dad. I don't know where to go. My head's spinning. Also, Rick, great job this week. I mean, I don't even know how to explain the picks that you had. But yes, after the weather delay, I'm worried that we're not even going to get it finished. Are we going to get it done? What are we going to do about the pod? How are we going to record this Monday morning? And everything worked out. And Webb Simpson's the winner. It was so fun.
Webb Simpson does take this thing down 22 under par. Kyle, this was, I think, some of the best performance I've seen from Webb for a couple of reasons. As we've talked about many times, sleeps on the 54-hole lead, is already two shots back by the time he tees off. And quite frankly, he is stuck in neutral for like the first, 11 holes?
Yeah.
And he's putting the ball in every position he needs to put it into, not making any punts. I feel like that would have spooked a lot of guys as you see the leaderboard moving around you. He just bears down, continues to put himself in position, and the putter gets hot, and I don't want to say he runs away with it. He won by one shot, but like he took over.
Yeah, he did. You know, I thought, I don't know if you guys saw the tweet from DJ Pie Housky over at No Line Up, but he kind of said it really well when he said Webb just hits handsome golf shot after handsome golf shot and like doesn't do anything crazy, but he just seems so in control. And at least from tee to green, did you see, I think my point here is, did you see what his strokes gained putting were on, or what the number was on the last seven holes?
No, but I saw, cause I checked it when he was like on 11, and from 11 to like Saturday, he was down 2.5. So I'm sure he did something crazy on the last.
He seven. Gained like, I think 2.8 or 9 on the last seven holes.
Wow.
Which is insane. And yeah. You know, it kind of, I was feeling the whole time like it's gonna pop at some point. He's gonna hit. But I think the question was it gonna be too late? Was it gonna be on the 16th hole or the 17th hole, and Hatton or Answer has already, like, they're already too far ahead for that to happen. But he hit at the right time, and I don't know, man. I kind of tweeted this out. We talked about it a little bit on HQ after the round. I mean, we don't think of him like this. He's one of the five best guys in the world. Like, he's one of the five best golfers on planet Earth right now. And I think we think of him as like, oh, he's kind of like Ryan Palmer. And not Greg, Rick, and me, but I think sometimes, like, if my dad's tuning in, if like the average golf fan is tuning in, they're like, yeah, Webb's okay. No, he's awesome. Like, he's really, really good. And from tee to green, I think it's crazy that he's not very good off the tee, and yet he's able to be one of the five, six, seven best guys in the world.
That shows how good we need a name for fairway through green.
Like that has to be a stat now. But like that stat, if you were to add those up, he's unbelievable. Greg, he literally is a top five player in the world. Will now move to fifth in the official world golf rankings. I agree with Kyle. I was like, he's running out of holes. Like he, there's just too many. All these other guys are rolling everything in. Answer is scorching. Hatton can't miss. Burger's chipping everything in. I'm like, what is going on? Everyone's making moves. Webb's gonna run out of holes. Then it clicks. And I feel like that's a lot of the mental stuff. I mean, him and what's his name, Paul Tesori, were like all. I mean, they were just grinding over everything. It just finally clicked.
It can happen for great players where you don't get the putter going early and it stays that way for the rest of the day. You just get it. And it happened to Justin Thomas last week. Justin Thomas missed great opportunities on like all the even holes on the front nine, 2, 4, 6, 8. He just kept narrowly missing and it never clicked in. That happens. But Webb had a will today and there was like this feeling that he knew that it was his and he wasn't going to let anybody take it from him. And all of a sudden you just start to see him click into gear and he has guts. He just knows exactly what he has to do when he has to do it. And we had him on a course record special. We had interviewed he and Paul Tesori. And one of the topics was Webb's record in playoffs. And it was really poor. It was a weak, it still is. I mean, he did win his most recent playoff, but it's a very weak record in playoffs. I think he's 2-5 on the PGA Tour and an 0-4 on the Korn Ferry Tour. Anyway, he said they did a little bit of kind of a deep dive. They looked into it after the RSM when he lost to Tyler Duncan and said, well, what do we have to do different? And he felt like he kind of took his foot off the accelerator. Well, I can kind of relax now because I know I'm going to finish first or second. So it's a good week no matter what. And something switched where he said, I got to be aggressive when I get into a playoff. Now, I know this wasn't a playoff situation, but what he did when he got to the back nine, he didn't say, okay, this is another nice finish. He said, this is my tournament. Nobody else is going to take it. I'm going to go get it. And he did everything he had to do down the stretch. It was so fun to watch. Cause I mean, part of me thinks if you're Webb Simpson, you're sitting there thinking, I got to get to 21 under. That's probably the number you're thinking in your mind. 21 under is going to get the job done. He goes right through it to 22. He's so good. As Kyle would say, he's sick.
He is sick.
He is
cold blooded.
Let me tee you up on this one, Kyle. So this is now the third golf. He's won twice on tour this year. Two others have done it. Quick, Kyle, who are they?
JT and
yes. You know. It's easy to forget this.
Reed?
No, Brendan Todd went back to back.
Oh, gosh.
That was like 10 years ago, it feels like, first of all. And the fact that it was the Todd father, I was like, you should not, like, very okay to not remember that. I would not
a have lot has happened since he won those two events.
The Todd father.
I would not have remembered unless Jacob put it in the outline here. Okay, so Kyle, here's the question. Is he the player of the year, like, as of right now?
What about Sungjae?
Okay, so Sungjae has a win. Sungjae is what, first in FedEx Cup points. He's got 6 top tens.
I think Webb's first now.
Webb's got 2 wins. This is going to be his 5th top 10, and he's going to actually, this isn't even updated. He won't take the lead in the FedEx Cup. Oh, yes, he will.
Yeah. I think at this point, I think it is Webb. I think it's going to be weird this year because you only have one major this season, right? And so are you just going to give the player of the year to whoever wins PGA? If somebody doesn't win 3 or 4 times, and then conversely next season, you're going to have 7 majors. You could have somebody win 2 of them and not win the player of the year. So we're in a weird 2-year run for the player of the year. But I think more broadly, I think I'm really on this kick where like we need to think about Webb differently than we do. And I think we have to include him in the DJ Rom JT type conversation, maybe not JT, but some of these other guys. I mean, I think Webb is better than John Rahm. Like, is that crazy to say?
Wow. I had a physical reaction. Yeah, go ahead, Greg.
He's in my opinion, he's more skilled than all of these players. I think he's the most skilled player in the world. And it's something we talk about all the time. Kyle mentions the money list and strokes gained off the tee. You compare those two numbers and they're very, very similar. And the reason for that is every single time you, well, first of all, strokes gained off the tee is heavily weighted towards distance. We all know that. So every time you go to the golf course with an advantage of distance, it's a built-in advantage. It's almost like a built-in gain. It's like you're starting a couple under par in a way. And Webb doesn't have that built-in advantage. He does hit it farther than people think, and he hits his irons a long way. But he's at a disadvantage off the tee. So the rest of his game, from approaching the green, around the green, on the green, has to be so good. It has to be elite for him to win. For him to gain enough strokes to win, he has to be elite. Approaching the greens, putting, and around the greens. And he does it time and time again. It's not like there's a Webb course here, there's a Webb course here. He does it all over the place, time and time again. It's, I mean, I've said it five times tonight. It's a joy to watch.
I think Webb is what Kuchar's career could have been. How about that take?
Ooh.
Interesting. Now, Kuchar has, what, nine? What does he have, nine wins on the PGA Tour?
Yeah, but he doesn't have a Players. He doesn't have a – he does have a Players.
He has a Players, no US Open. No major.
Yeah. So I just – I think that Webb is – I mean, he's kind of Kuchar-like, right? Like in terms of – I mean, I think his ball striking is better. But I don't know. He's just in a position where you're like – right now, I just don't know that I've ever thought about Kuchar as like a top 4, 5, 6 guy in the world. I've never looked at the Ryder Cup team and been like, man, I really need to have Kuchar on that team like I am with Webb right now. And I think it's surprising. It's kind of surprising that we're here. I don't know if you would have looked 6 years ago, even after he wins US Open, at Webb's career playing out like this, but man, he's been awesome for the last 2 or 3 years, and good for him. Cause he's a good dude. He's the best. And I'm really glad for the way his career has played out.
I have some good stats here. So both Webb and Kuchar have top 10, 24% of their tournaments, both of them exactly 24%. Wow. Webb makes a few more cuts. Kuchar's won a few more times, but Webb's wins are a little bit better. Greg, we'll put the capper on Webb here. As much as I don't want to, I could spend a couple more hours talking about this, but he has now, to Kyle's point, gained strokes, improved his strokes gain total number. This will be 4 consecutive seasons if he does it this year, which he almost certainly will from last year.
That's a great
start. And that's only happened 10 other occasions in the ShotLink era that someone improved 4 years in a row. Webb Simpson figured it out, is very much in his prime, and is very, very good at golf.
He's doing all that with 5 kids at home. Right? I mean, this guy, don't underestimate that. I mean, you got to, that is not an easy thing to do, to father 5 children. I mean, I have one.
To father Kyle. To father 5 children or to raise 5 children?
To raise 5 children. There
we go. You just need one more, Kyle. Yeah, Kyle, if you have one more, you can like be Webb Simpson. You see one more.
I'm one shy. And a few, yeah, Webb and I are, we travel differently. We're not in the same, bracket. I want to throw this out to you guys before we wrap on Webb. If you're thinking about guys that are easy to root for, I mean, he's got to be in the top, what, 3 or 4 or 5 or 6. I don't know that everybody would have always said that, but I think, I don't know, at least within golf Twitter, like people have just kind of come around on Webb. He was awesome in Paris at the Ryder Cup. Like he's just really easy to root for. You'd probably throw Rory in there. You'd probably throw Ricky in there. I mean, I don't know. He's definitely up there for me in terms of guys that are easy to root for.
I'll make one last point because I know we got to move on here. But I think part of that is Webb never loses tournaments. If he's in the mix, he performs come late Sunday. And we love watching that. Sometimes he gets beat, but he doesn't give it away. I can't think of Webb missing a short putt to lose a tournament, or Webb hitting it out of bounds and maybe he has, but I can't think of one instance where he hasn't given himself a putt to tie or a good look to win. He's always doing it in the clutch. And I think people appreciate that. And then you mix that in with the kind of guy that he is, and we love him.
That was such an enjoyable watch. I've got that one on the DVR. I'm gonna run that back 9 back tomorrow. All right, gentlemen, it was a flurry at the top of the leaderboard. Abraham Answer now, Kyle, the highest ranked player in the world without a PGA Tour or European win. I thought he was going to win this. I thought that he just continued to hit those. You mentioned this on HQ, those little bullets off the tee, and then like those really high approach shots that would just land and stop. And I'm like, holy crap, Abe Anser is going to run everybody down here.
Yeah, he was relentless. I didn't see his strokes gained putting on Sunday. I don't know if you have that in front of you, but it couldn't have been very good because he hit it. I mean, he hit all 18. Webb hit 15 of 18 greens in regulation. Abe hit all 18 of them. And I don't know. I said this on HQ as well. I don't know if he can contend if you go to Aaron Hills, if you go to Bethpage, if you're trying to mow down a place like that. But he's relentless. I mean, he just keeps coming. And I don't really – it doesn't really matter to me whether he won or lost. I thought he was about as good as he could have. And I don't care about the missed putts either. It's like, whatever. Like, you know, that's golf. Like, that's going to happen. He could not have – I guess what I'm trying to say is he couldn't have impressed me more with the way that he played on Sunday with those guys at the top of the leaderboard.
He sleeps on the 54-hole lead, Greg, hits every single green and doesn't win. That has to be like the first time ever.
it's like devastating, right? You got to be just not very happy about it. I thought Abraham Anser was going to win too. He was my pick on HQ. You go in there, shoot 65-65 over the weekend. He missed two greens all weekend. It was ridiculous, tee to green. I mean, I don't think I've ever heard of anybody leading in driving accuracy, leading in grades of regulation, and I think he ended up leading in proximity to the hole as well. I know he did late in the back nine. And I didn't hear his interview after this round, but I remember, and I was thinking of back to the American Express back in the earlier in the year when he came in second. He shot a 63 on Sunday. He played great golf. Nobody expected him to get into the mix until he was making a really long putt on number 17. And then he has a putt on 18 to at least what he thought would tie. And he missed it. And he was in the interview. He was where most people would be thrilled with a great week and thrilled with a great round. And maybe, shucks, you know, it's too bad that didn't go in on 18. But he was ticked off. And I just remember thinking, this guy he's kind of like, what? He's cold-blooded. Like he doesn't care. He has a cool confidence about him, and he expects and wants to win. And it's coming soon. It's coming really soon for Abraham Anser.
In case you didn't see his interview, this is what it looked like, Greg.
That's what it would look like if I did that interview.
Hey, we're on YouTube now, so this
I didn't
works.
See that coming. I did not see that.
That is Terrell Hatton level shots fired. So let's talk about Terrell Hatton here. This guy is so cool. First of all, he provides his own commentary. He's going for his second consecutive win after winning the API. He's going for his third win in five starts, Kyle. When do we have to start being like, oh, like, I know it's a small sample. I know it's a five start stretch, but like, how good is Terrell Hatton compared to everybody
else? It's a five start stretch over like 10 months,
back to November.
He's really good. I did my power rankings a couple weeks ago, right before Colonial. And I think I had him sixth or seventh, something like that. And again, the sample size is small. He's over three in terms of strokes gained overall. I don't know that'll go down. He'll still be over three after this week. He did it differently this week. I think the weird part about this week, if you would have told me Terrell Hatton will lead the field in putting, I'd be like, oh yeah, he'll probably win by like five. I mean, that's how good of a ball striker he is. And he just didn't, I don't know. I mean, I was kind of fading him coming into Sunday just because of his, honestly, because of his interview on Saturday where he, and I know we joked about it, but he was like, I'm kind of uncomfortable. And the stats told that story. It was like, oh, you just made everything. And that's just, it's really, I think it's hard to win that way when you're just not really feeling it from tee to green.
I agree with you. I that was a funny comment that we talked about, but like the stats did bear that out. Greg Hatton to me is like must-see television in the same way that Jordan Spieth is, right? When he's playing well, it's going to be great. When he's playing poorly, it's going to be great. Like, whatever it is, Hatton's a guy you have to tune in on.
If you combined Tyrrell Hatton and Bryson DeChambeau, you'd have Happy Gilmore, right? I mean, he is must-see television. Time and time again, he's so fun to watch. I'm a fan. I'm kind of with you, Kyle. I was surprised he was in the mix this week. I haven't come around on really believing he's that good. I was going to play him in one and done. I had no reason for it other than I know that Rick was pretty high on him. So I was like, okay, Rick's been on the ball lately. I think this is a good week to play Hatton, and I faded him just for no reason, but he's really good and he's surprised me time and time again. He just continues to impress. So I'm a big fan of the golf swing. They did a nice little piece with about he and his father and some of the work that they've done going forward. It seems like a really simple approach. And it doesn't seem like this is going to go anywhere. He seems really, really comfortable in his own skin, which is probably my favorite aspect of him.
Was he on the 18 Ryder Cup team?
He was.
Maybe I just blocked the 18 Ryder Cup out, but him at Ryder Cups for the next, hopefully 10 years is going to be crazy. Like he's insane.
He's going to draw a lot more attention. Like that, they will show his matches will be, I think at a more upper echelon. He's probably not going to be play two matches and go home. Like 18, he wasn't really a huge part of the story. You forget he's on the team. That's going to change next year, I would imagine, or this year. Jeez, whenever it happens.
He was 1-2. He played with Paul Casey in both of the foursomes, and then he lost his singles match to Patrick Reed. There you go, full circle.
Wow. What a match that is.
Yeah, right. I did just look this up, Kyle. So before the event, before the RBC Heritage, Hatton was 3.08 strokes gained total, which is massive. Post RBC Heritage, 3.03. So he does retain that 3-stroke average. Real quick on two guys before we hop over and change gears here. Brooks Koepka and Jordan Spieth. I'll give you one each. Kyle, you obviously get Jordan Spieth, who makes the cut, but floundered around for the weekend.
Yeah, I mean, it wasn't a roller coaster because there wasn't anything good after Thursday. Yeah. It was just
that what would be something that just goes down?
Yeah, it's like I don't know. It was not pretty. I think whatever you thought about last week at Colonial, this week just kind of wiped it out. It's like we're just doing this all over again. And I think until he gets out of that for a sustained period of time, I mean, would you trust him anywhere? I wouldn't. I don't know. The tee to green is just, it's not good. And
he lost 6 strokes tee to green on the weekend.
Yeah, that's so bad.
That's so bad.
Yeah. And yeah, I mean, that's all there is with that. That's all. I'm in mourning over here.
He's going to go to a place he won last year, not last year, next week. He won it in, I think, 17. Does that sound right? Travelers.
Yeah, that's right.
All right, Greg, you get Brooks Koepka, who had me shaking in my boots for a couple of minutes when he had a 3-hole stretch 4-under. He drives 9, makes the eagle putt, makes back-to-back birdies on 10 and 11, I believe was the stretch of golf, looking a lot more like the Brooks Koepka we know and love.
That's interesting. Is this the Brooks Koepka we know and love? Because normally this guy steps up like this in major championships and in regular PGA Tour events. We don't really see very much of this. Now, Brooks to me looks motivated. He looks like he really cares. He looks like he really wants to win. And it's fun to watch. He is a scary, scary man when he's motivated. And that's the biggest thing that I'm seeing from him. He looks like he's got a chip on his shoulder and he wants to go win. And he's treating this like a major championship.
A scary, scary man.
He's not wrong.
He is.
Okay, so real quick, I know we're getting ready to go to break and do our one and done. Two things that I got to get off my chest. One, the course was awesome because, and Rick and I talked about this on HQ, it brought so many different, I mean, and I made the point of the 9th hole. So Brooks drives, speaking of Brooks, he drives the 9th hole, makes eagle, right? A couple hours later, or like an hour later, you see Hatton and Answer pull 4-iron or whatever. And I love courses where guys can play them different ways. And look, Brooks takes the risk of going for the green, leaving it short in that bunker and not being able to get up and down, but it paid off. And so you're at a course where it still rewards guys for their length, but it doesn't. Like, if we go to Erin Hills, Abraham Answer can't win Erin Hills. He just can't. Like, that's never going to happen. He's never going to win at Bethpage. So I just thought the course really gave us a really cool, and it shined a light on how good and diverse the leaderboard was. And then two, the broadcast over the last 2 hours was insane. And this goes back to my point about I love the no fans thing so far. I mean, it felt like, I mean, first of all, I was terrified that Hatton thought it was just going to be a canvas for him to like lose his mind and just go completely. But the back and forth and the sun setting, you could hear Webb talking about TrackMan and the tide. Like, the whole thing was awesome. I could not have enjoyed the last 2 hours of that tournament, that whole experience, more than I did.
Yeah, I think we should dive into that another time, because that I do want to talk about that. The whole player caddy thing is awesome. Also, another thing for another day, that whole Brooks Koepka only cares about majors is the biggest load of baloney anyone has ever tried to feel. Like, and we buy that, and it just gives him a pass in every other. Okay, no, it's all right. We'll talk about this another time.
I love this.
If you want to see how frustrated I get about this Brooks Koepka conversation, we're on YouTube. So you can see that now. So we'll tweet out the links. Make sure that you subscribe to the First Cut Podcast on YouTube for the video feeds here. And on the other side, we've got a lot of matchups to go through. We have to crown a new matchup champion, and we have to update the one and done standing. Spoiler alert, I'm very excited to do so. But first, we'll hear from our partners.
Did you know more than 75% of Americans will experience foot pain in their lifetime, but only 10% will seek out a solution for that pain? Spoiler alert, your feet don't have to hurt, and I know foot biomechanics can be complex, but solving foot pain should be simple. It's a signature orthotic shape of the super feet insoles that give you the comfort and support where you need it the most. It redistributes and reduces stress and strain on your entire body. Think about those long walks on a golf course and how uncomfortable your feet can get. Well, they don't have to, and Superfeet has helped millions of people worldwide experience the life-changing magic of comfy, pain-free feet. When your feet feel good, so do you. It is one of the most important parts of your overall health and well-being. And for a limited time, Superfeet is having its biggest sale of the year. Go to superfeet.com to save 25% off site-wide and get free shipping. Hurry, sale pricing ends June 5th.
Take your business further with the smart and flexible American Express Business Gold Card. You can earn 4 times points on your top 2 eligible spending categories every month, like transit, U.S. restaurants, and gas stations. That's the powerful backing of American Express. 4 times points on up to $150,000 in purchases per year. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/businessgoldcard.
And we're back. All right, gentlemen, we've been instituting this new little game that we play where we throw up a bunch of matchups before the week. We all take a side and then we see how terrible we are at it. But Kyle, you are not terrible. Congratulations. You are this week's matchup challenge belt victor. You have now tied Mark Immelman for most weeks as the champion, which is 1. Congratulations.
Yeah, I'll take my victory lap. Let's see here. My best pick was JT and then Kuchar over Woodland. That was a big one because the rest of you guys had Woodland. I had Webb over Rose, and then Reed over Sungjae. I get money or points or shekels for Reed over Sungjae. Didn't Reed miss the cut?
So this is actually very interesting. They both missed the cut, but depending on, and I don't know what the Book of Jacob does, but depending on, some books would push that if they both missed the cut. Some will look at what their actual score was. I think Sungjae was a couple over. Reed, I think, was 1 over. So Book of Jacob gave you a win on that one.
It's very, very generous there, Jacob. I appreciate that. These are fun. You know, I think that, and especially with these loaded fields, you know, if we drop down to like, I don't know, low South African between Dylan Fratelli and I don't know, somebody else. It might not be as
Brandon
fun, but
Grace.
Do what? Yeah, Brandon Grace.
Brandon Grace.
But with the number of guys in these fields, the number of top guys, it makes it a lot of fun.
I completely agree. Are we ever, Greg, like how long does really good fields last for? Because, okay, we're now going to be 3 for 3 next week's unbelievable. How long does this go until we get back to an event where like Kuchar's the betting favorite?
Well, I mean, how long can you play? Everybody's playing the same schedule now. That's kind of my concern in thinking about it. And I think you're almost starting to see a little bit of fatigue. Not only were these the first two events back that everybody played in the same two events, but I mean, we're playing these events in southern states later in the year and it's hot and there's no wind. I mean, Colonial was hot. And this week, I mean, it felt like one time I saw it was like 88 degrees, felt like 99. I mean, that is... Yeah. When Jacob will tell you, you're down there in the low country and there's no wind like that. It is hot. So I wonder when the fatigue is going to start to set in. And my one concern is after Travelers, everybody's just going to take a week off and they're all going to do it all at once. I hope that doesn't happen, but I'm kind of leaning that way. Can you play how many guys are going to play 4 or 5 events in a row? And I don't think that's a really big number.
It's a pretty bold take there, Greg, that South Carolina is hot in the summer. I mean,
I'm going out on the limb.
Who could have seen that one coming?
Only the spiciest takes here.
Right? So now
it's true. It's a great point.
There was a this is a hard pivot in our industry. I was thinking about the telecast there and how good it was. At the end, after Webb taps in on 18 and him and Paul Tesori yes. go back to the clubhouse. Did you hear this?
Yes.
Okay. It's our very own Mark Immelman walking up like the clubhouse ramp with them. And Paul Tesori is telling Mark that we could see you crouching and we could hear you talking all day, which is so hilarious. Cause Mark was telling us how like aware he is of his voice right out there. And then the no fans thing, Kyle, is just like, yeah, I guess these guys can hear.
It's impossible because like there's nobody else out there, and you're trying to talk like this, but like every single right. word that you like whisper is heard. Speaking of after Webb tapped in, did you see Ryan Palmer hollering about Carlos Ortiz?
The bunker, right? The bunker was not raked or something.
Yeah, and Palmer was like, it might have been his caddy. Somebody was not pleased with it. And it was, that's another, and somebody pointed this out on Twitter. That's another great thing about the mics, because you pick, like, I don't care if Ricky and JT are talking about like something salacious. I don't even want to hear that. Like, that interests me zero. I do want to hear when caddies are pissed at other caddies about bunker rakes or whatever. Like the it's the littlest stuff that gets picked up that is the most interesting to me.
It's the unplanned stuff too.
Yeah.
Yeah, Greg, we're getting exposed to, so I think there was another moment. Webb was walking up 18 trying to close this thing out. He was telling Paul, like, make sure we put that in the yardage book for next year.
Yeah.
Like the guys, he's already thinking about 2021 as he's trying to close out 2020, Greg. This stuff's like, open the mics. Like this is beauty.
You know, it is. It's gold to hear. I don't know if you have to actually put mics on the players because we're hearing it anyway. So maybe just stick with boom mics.
Keep the fans away.
Keep the. I mean, it's such an interesting point, Kyle, because I haven't once thought, where are the fans?
Yeah,
I haven't thought it one time, and it's been fun. The drama, the tension is still there. There's almost no loss. It's unimaginable.
Yeah.
We were talking about it for weeks leading up to it. What's it going to be like without fans? And it's like the same thing, maybe better from a viewer's perspective. So it's one of a kind. But Webb and Paul Tesori are the best.
if there was a financial way for us to move forward without fans, like all in, it is so much better.
The new purses would be like $800,000 total, like not to the second place or the winner, but just total. Like that's what you're playing for.
Yeah, I hope you're happy, Kyle.
Yeah, exactly.
That's what Webb will be saying.
Not going to happen. All right. Well, we have a very big one and done update, my friends. Oh, and this is the one I've been waiting. I mean, okay, let's be very clear here. I've been in the basement since we started this. What would that have been? October? I don't know when we started this. Maybe we started in January.
I think it was January.
Okay. So it's probably like Sony or Tournament of Champions or whatever. But I have been in the basement from that day. Now, let's recap this week's picks. The Patrick Reed trio picked by Greg, producer Jacob, and KP. And KP, Greg threw you under the bus on this. He said he only picked Patrick Reed because you picked him.
That's on him. I missed.
It's totally on
I had
me.
Webb. He missed the cut. So don't follow. I mean, Rick's on a heater. Don't follow me.
This was my debate. I'm going with Rick. See, the problem that I had and the reason I deserve a miscut this week is I didn't have any of my own guy. I didn't have a guy that I wanted to pick. I was on, well, Rick says Hatton, Kyle says Reed. I kind of like both of these guys. And last second, it's like when you're at when you're at a restaurant and you don't know what you're going to order.
Yeah.
And the waiter comes and all of a sudden you just pick something that wasn't even in the top two choices. You just throw it out there. And it was a spur of the moment, terrible decision. So I take, yes, Kyle, I'll throw you under the bus. I did it because of you, but I'll take the responsibility.
Here's the dirty little secret. You picked what Kyle picked this week. That is not what you're supposed to do. You pick who Kyle picked last week Reed, and got burnt on.
Reed will win the Travelers.
Correct. Now I will pick Reed next week and he will win the Travelers. I guarantee it.
Webb, you kind of had a little bit of that going earlier in the year, right? Weren't you on Justin Rose or something?
I tried this earlier in the year to take Woodland somewhere.
Because
before it burned KP and Mark, and I wanted to rub it in their faces, so I picked him the next week.
So you're going to try it again?
Well, now I'm – yeah, sure. Whatever, sure. Mark had Xander, which got him 15,000. Greg, did you make this point? I apologize if this was or was not you. Like, when he's not in contention, he's just, like, not – he doesn't really care that much, does he?
No, I don't think that was me.
Oh, well, does he care if he's not in contention?
So I think last week was really emotional for Xander. And I think Xander's kind of level-headed. It almost looks to like during when he is in contention, he doesn't care. So it kind of like DJ gets that vibe too. I do think he cares, but I think this week is a result of the emotions of last week. I think last week's loss really hurt Xander. I think it was a tough one for him to swallow.
All right, we'll keep an eye on him. But I get the big W, 1.2 million points thanks to Webb Simpson, which vaults me from the basement above Mark Immelman, above producer Jacob, to 2.5. Literally, Webb just like doubled my score in 1 week. Still behind you two, though. But I can hear footsteps. Greg, you are now at 2.585, so 14,000 ahead of me. And KP, you have just cleared the 3 million mark. So for now, Kyle, you are still in our one and done lead, but it is like the leaderboard we saw all week, much closer, my friend.
Yeah, I actually cleared the 3 million mark back in March because I have zero in the first two starts. So I've been
I feel like Abraham Answer, by the way. Top ranked guy without a win.
Yeah, you don't have a win yet, do you?
No.
You're like Kuchar. You just got a bunch of top tens.
I'm racking them up.
Oh yeah, you have 7 top tens, which is the next closest is 4. So you've got all the top tens and no wins. You are Matt Kuchar of the one and done.
Yeah, I guess Matt Kuchar is better. What are we talking about with the answer though? He's the highest ranked player without a win on tour.
What's he up? He was at 30. What's he up to? Like 24 or something?
I don't know. They haven't updated the site yet, right? Don't they do that Monday morning? But someone on Twitter usually tweets it out what it's going to be.
Yeah.
It's not updated yet. I don't know what he's going to be, but yeah, he'll move up a couple
Fowler,
spots.
Fowler dropped out of the top, or I think he's going to drop out of the top 30.
Well, he was 29 and Abe's going to go to 24, Kyle.
There you go.
Producer Jacob, that time all over it. Yeah, all right, gentlemen, parting words. Greg, we'll start with you. That was, and seriously, like literally my financial implications beside my one and done implications, beside the fact that I talked about Webb Simpson, like remove all of that. That was a lot of fun. Like I had so much fun all week. And especially after that weather delay was like, that was so much fun watching golf.
You know, you talk about, Kyle's talked about this before, how watching golf for a living can be a grind sometimes. Today is one of those days it's not a grind. Like, yeah, we're up late. The weather delay pushes us a little bit later. Our other obligations push us later. This turns into a really long work day for a Sunday, but it's so much fun. I couldn't care less. And I had so much fun being on with you guys tonight. I think today's podcast showcases like what the tournament was like. It was a blast. And so we had a blast. Loved it.
My takeaway is I think if Rory eagles a couple of the first on the first nine on Monday, I think he's right in it going into the afternoon, the fifth round here that we're going to play. My joke is always that, you know, Rory's just a couple eagles away from being right back in it. I'm with Greg. The whole thing was a lot of, I mean, we didn't even talk about Sergio. We didn't even talk about Joaquin Neiman, JT, T8, Bryson. I mean, he was just a lunatic the entire tournament again.
This legit could have been a 4-hour podcast. Like, there were so many storylines.
Somebody tweeted that Michael Thompson looks like the fourth Manning brother.
I was so afraid he was going to steal that thing ruin everyone's day.
Yeah, I was too. I'm already fired up about next week. Greg wasn't on there, but I picked JT to win next week, like 3 minutes after the tournament.
Yes. 3 minutes. It was still light out at the course. Let you know they were running out of daylight. Kyle was already on JT for next week. Like,
he's been playing great. He finally putted on Sunday and he shot 63. And you're like, well, yeah, that's how he's hitting it. He's freaking striping it. I mean, he's so locked in right now. He just hasn't putted. So, yeah, already looking forward to Travelers.
All right. Well, speaking of Travelers, we will have content in those feeds all week long. So make sure to look out for that. Thank you for joining me a little bit later than usual this evening. It's Greg Ducharme. You can find him on Twitter at TheRealGFD. It's Kyle Porter. You can find him on Twitter at KylePorterCBS. I'm Rick Gaiman. You can find me on Twitter at RickRunGood, which I am at the moment. And this is The First Cut. We'll see you next time.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with 3 rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.